Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Insider Podcast. I'm Jeff Bergerson, joined as always by Zachary Turcotte.
Headed overseas this week. How are you feeling about that?
We are headed overseas as kind of a preview for the Open Championship, which is kind of cool. I've liked it the last few years. Of course, you can find us, fantasygolfinsider.com, for all of the research tools you need to be a profitable and winning DFS golf player, golf better, you name it, we got it. Do all the research, especially weeks like this week where we're looking at who putts best on fescue grass. Be sure to check out our putting splits tool. Course comps, we're looking at guys who play well on links-style courses because we're at the Scottish Open, so be sure to check out our course comp tool. Then you can build all your lineups on our optimizer, or our lineup generator, and build up to 150 lineups so you can compete in some of these large field GPPs for the big prize dollars. Zachary, we will get into the Scottish Open, but first let's touch briefly on the John Deere Classic from last week. What were some of your biggest takeaways?
Yeah, it was interesting to see the favorite come through. We've had so many events this season where Scotty or others have been up there near the top and haven't been able to pull it off. And then you get an event like this where Goddard's history was a little bit mixed at the event. And he's obviously been great early in the season where he had a couple of wins, but he hadn't been nearly as hot. So to see him kind of roar back and overtake the rest of the field was a pretty impressive win, three this year now. So he's obviously having an amazing season. Was interesting to see a couple of old names break out. We had kind of talked about how Deer Run is a course where course history tends to matter a little bit more than normal. And sure enough, Lucas Glover ended up finishing really well. And then Zach Johnson, he hadn't really had probably been 6-7 years. I think it was like 2018 or something like that was his last top 10 finish.
Yeah.
At the John Deere. And then of course there he was Friday afternoon up at the top of the leaderboard, and he fell back a little bit, but still, I think ended up finishing in seventh place for the week. So that was pretty impressive. We had a pretty good meltdown on the final hole. It looked like it was probably going to be headed for a playoff. I'm not sure if you were keeping track or not, but
yeah, with Ben Coles. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like Ben Coles was going to get there and was going to send it to a playoff. And then he went into the water on 18 and choked it away. And then, yeah, I mean, it was pretty brutal, even for having a chance to finish tied for second. He missed about a 2.5 foot putt there on the end to end up making double bogey. It was really, really bad.
That makes a couple of tournaments. Goddard has been the recipient of meltdowns by his,
right? Yeah, because Hideki did the same. Oh, yeah, waste management early in the year. Yeah, so he just in the clubhouse watching away. But yeah, it was interesting to see. Max Homa, he was a guy that I liked. Ended up using him in my cash lineup for the week. He, for this kind of second year in a row, looks like he may save his tour by having big finishes at some of these easier events there. So he was up there. We hadn't seen really Lee Hodges do a whole lot. So he was in the mix. So it was an interesting result. Not too terribly unexpected. There were a handful of guys that kind of blew the cut early that ended up hurting me. But it was a decent tournament, very competitive. So I thought it was fun to watch.
I owned a ton of Goddard in DFS, as I have all year. I put in my column, I said I believe Goddard is at a different level than everybody else in the field, with Griffin being a clear second. Yeah. And so I own him a ton in DFS. The frustrating part for me is going into an event and seeing the outright odds just so unappealing that the guy I'm backing, the guy I like from week in to week out, you know, he's usually in the 30 to 50 range.
Yeah.
Is at, you know, in the 12 to 1 area. and it's unbettable for me. I just, that's not my game.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, because he's a very good player, and yeah, he's won a couple of times this year, but he's not a guy who's consistently in contention week in and week out. So it gets very tough to see those odds come all the way down. And, I mean, he's had a couple decent finishes at that event over the years, but you know, certainly nothing where you'd feel like, oh yeah, he's definitely got to be a guy at you know 12-1 or whatever it was
right.
That he ended up winning at. Because the problem with betting a guy like that is you make 6 bets for the week, and then he wins, and you're winning like 2-1 on your money.
Yes, so it's, yeah,
it's great if you can pull that off week in and week out. But if you're trying for that all season long, that's you know, especially with some guys like that aren't necessarily going to hit when they're the lowest odds guys, then yeah, you're probably looking at losing over time on something like that.
Yep. So that was the John Deere Classic. Let's move on to the Scottish Open this week, kind of the lead into the Open Championship as they head overseas to the Reynap. How do you say it, Zachary? How do you say it appropriately?
What's that? The Renaissance Club?
Renaissance Club. How do you say it?
That's how I say it. I'm American, so that's how I'm going to say
all
it.
All right. The Renaissance Club. Blah. 156 players in the field, large field, top 65 in ties. The course itself, we've seen, 4 times before. It's par 70, measures 7,237 yards. It's considered a modern links-style course and not so much as a traditional links-style course. Sits right on the coastline of the North Sea. We got fescue greens, as I referenced earlier, so be sure to check out our putting splits tool. The greens are huge, 7,000 square feet, so be sure to take that into account. 3-putt avoidance I have is kind of important this week, so that's kind of a stat that I look at this week. 83 bunkers, no water hazards. Wind, we always kind of talk about when we talk about the European courses. Have you looked at all at the forecast coming up, Zachary?
Oh, hang on. Let me see. Let me pull that up. That's
so definitely... The stats that I generally look at are strokes gained off the tee. I like around the green play for these link style courses, putting, of course. And then, as I mentioned, 3-putt avoidance scrambling as well. I'm always looking. I think tournament history is huge, as well as history on Open Championship courses, which you can actually find in our course comparison tool by just typing in the Open, and it'll pull up the last several courses that the Open Championship has played on. Check those boxes and search how these guys have done in those, and I think that's a decent comparison tool as well.
So I'm not seeing too much weather-wise. It actually doesn't look too bad the first 2 days. So Thursday, seeing like winds are around like 10 gust, 15 for most of the day, which isn't horrible for here. Friday, they actually look almost calm for most of the day right now. They're not really seeing the hour by hour. I don't see rain. It looks like maybe Friday night it might get a little bit of light rain. But not much. It looks like Tuesday and Wednesday it's a little bit gusty. But no, I don't really see anything on Thursday and Friday. So that should lead to some decent scoring for the week then.
Anything else to add about the course or the tournament itself that you remember from the last several years?
No, there probably isn't too much. I do tend to gravitate towards... the guys who play here every year, as well as guys who have, you know, some international history, you know,
right.
So if they're European born guys who are used to playing this type of course, I probably would give them a little bit more of an edge over, you know, some of the US guys who've been great in form recently, but not necessarily used to playing a lot of link style golf or playing in Scotland or things like that. I do tend to give the nudge to the European player.
The last 4 years, this has been a PGA Tour event, but before that, it was a DP World Tour event. So on the tournament history page on the website, it incorporates both, which is awesome. Yeah. So be sure to consult that. That's huge, but that's why there's 7 years of history on the tournament history page. This year it's a co-sanctioned event, like it has been the last 4 years. So check that out. Let's dive into pricing. We have the same kind of conundrum that we have had most every week this year. That's Scotty being priced up on DraftKings, way up 14,000, which is 2,000 more than Rory McIlroy is. As the second, John Rahm at 11,500 before an even steeper drop to Matthew Fitzpatrick at 9,900. Zachary, we've talked about this most every week. We've been on the fade Scotty train because of price, because of our options that you have to round out a roster when you do select him. Does this week kind of fall under what we have been doing, or are you switching it up a little bit?
No, this week definitely. So when he was at the Travelers a couple weeks ago, I didn't mind using him as much there just because with no cut and a much stronger, tighter field, there was plenty to build around. But look at him this week at 14,000. If you pay that, then you've got 7,200 for the rest. And you and I were kind of going through the field in the low 7K and in the 6K range this week. And it's pretty barren of players. Like, there's just not a lot to love down on the low end. So you're going to either have to get really lucky going deep into the 6Ks or hit everything right around 7 and hope that all of those guys end up making it through the cut. The other thing that's important this week is it's 156,
yeah,
or 155, 156 yeah. player field this week.
Yeah.
And so cutting down to 65, that's a huge, huge cut. There's going to be a ton of carnage this week with that cut. That's a much, much bigger cut than what we're used to seeing from, you know, a lot of these smaller events on the PGA Tour. And so again, if Scotty has to, he would have to win, and then he would likely have to have the rest of the field around him up at the top kind of collapse, because it's a very top heavy sort of field. Like, there are plenty of good players here all the way down into the mid 8K range, and then it drops off pretty dramatically where there's only a handful that I really like in the sevens, and by the time you get to the low sevens, there's not much that I like at all. So I don't think you can play Scotty. I'm surprised to see that price there. Now, he did win the Open, so I mean, we kind of burst that narrative of, well, he doesn't win on links courses, but historically it probably has been his least best style of course compared to stateside. So yeah, I think this week I can probably pretty comfortably stay away from Scotty.
Do you go with a guy like Rory or Rahm in the top tier, or you just fade that completely and get down to that 9K range?
I think I will probably, I mean, I think Rory's probably the only guy there who's playable. We'll see how it actually works out money-wise to see if I can actually work him into some lineups. I think I probably can. And Rory's a guy who's very good on length style courses. So I like that quite a bit. You know, Rahm, I think you could probably skip him there, but Rory might be the one guy up there that I really like.
But your main concern about Rory is kind of his overall attitude.
Is he just interested at all this year? Because he really hasn't been since the Masters. So if he wasn't interested really at the PGA Championship and wasn't really all that interested in the US Open, then is he really going to be all that fired up for the Scottish Open, I guess? I mean, he's a former winner here. Last 3 years have been fantastic. So even last year when he wasn't necessarily on his game, he still finished second. He does have a ton of great finishes on the European side when he does go over there to play. So I'd never count him out. So he would be the one of three there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that is something to consider. It's like, how much focus is he really going to put on? I mean, they've actually had to waive the minimum number of events for him this year
right.
on tour, because he isn't even going to get to like 15,
right.
which is wild. He's the only one that I like right there. But yeah, getting into the 9K range, that'll probably be more my focus. Obviously, Matthew Fitzpatrick has played tremendous golf all year. He's had three top tens here in his last five starts. And having an incredible season, if he can get his putter going at all, I think he's he's probably somebody who's a pretty strong play. I think Tommy Fleetwood at 9,400, he's recently strung together a number of really good events. He's made the cut here in all six starts. He's got three top 10 finishes as well. So those would probably be my favorite two plays there in the nines. And then Wyndham Clark as well at 9,200. Great course history, 4 of 4, making the cut, all top 25 finishes. And he's probably playing the best golf of his life over the last 3 months. A couple of big wins. And what's been impressive with him is that the wins, sometimes a guy like that will win and then slow down a little bit. Not so much the case with him. He won and then finished third, and then he won and then finished fifth at the Travelers. So it feels like something that he could probably sustain for the rest of the season. So those are the three plays that I think I like best there in that 9K range. Anybody else that you're looking at from like 9K and up?
I'm feeling like there's nobody in the 9K range that I hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's really a former winner. Like I like some guys less than others, but there's nobody in this range that I am totally opposed to. Even like Robert McIntyre has won here before, has shown some signs most recently.
Yep.
And he's 9K. And it's like, well, you can do a triple stack here with like Oberg. You could even mix in Xander, who I think is really a good value. Xander, Oberg, and you mentioned Wyndham Clark. And you got the same amount left for three spots as you'd have for five spots if you rostered Scotty.
Yeah, I like that a lot better. I like that a lot better, giving yourself a lot more shots. Because, yeah, I do really like this range. And even you get down into 8,900, and there's Tyrrell Hatton sitting there, who I think is a fantastic value. He's been good at this event all four times that it's been held here. He's coming off of a seventh place finish there at the US Open. He played well at the Masters. He's had a pretty good run over on the LIV Tour. I think that's a real nice value there, at 8,900. So I like him there. I think you could probably play a little bit of Patrick Cantlay at 88. Outside of the US Open, he's had a pretty good run going all the way back to the Masters. I like Justin Thomas. He's really been, you know, since coming back from his injury, he had a couple blips early on, but the last seven events, he's finished in the top 25 or better. I like that a lot. Like, that's kind of the range. You get down to JT there at 86, where I like plenty of these players. And then from there on down, that's where things start to get a lot more challenges. Anybody from like 8,500 down to like 8,000 that you're focused on?
Harris English is interesting in that he has played well on link-style courses. He's been pretty good this year, I would say. The only thing that concerns me is, like, when you look at his stats, they're really poor from tee to green for the most part, except for short game and putter.
Yeah.
So I guess that concerns me. But he was kind of on my radar. I know Nikolai Højgaard went through an awful stretch, but he kind of bounced back at Travelers. This has been a good place for him. So I'm going to own some shares. Hopefully he becomes a contrarian play here. He's got two top tens in the last 3 years. So I like him there. That pretty much rounds out my 8K range. There's a bunch of guys in that high 7K range that I'm pretty comfortable rostering. How about you?
Yeah, I think Fitzpatrick for me at 7,900. He's missed the cut here the last 2 years, but I feel like he's just a different player right now. He's reached a whole new level, one on the DP World Tour, one with his brother. And then since getting his card, he's been fantastic. He's made the cut in all seven starts, and he has six top 25s. So I think we get a real bargain there. On that price, coming off of a seventh place finish. And he's been so good. He was really good at the signature events. He said, you know, almost all top tens there at the signatures. So super impressive. I fully expect him to turn things around. Chris Wrighton at 7,900, I think, is also in play. He collected a win, earlier this year at a signature event. Pretty impressive. He had a 22nd place finish a couple weeks ago, was 13th here last year. And Aaron Rye, PGA Championship winner and a former winner at this event, back about 5 or 6 years ago. Since the win, he's added on a couple of top 20s, including an 11th place finish at the US Open. So all of those guys right there. And then you can even throw in a guy like Shane Lowry. I think I'm kind of a sucker for him. Been a tricky season since he blew it at PGA National at the Cognizant, but still somebody who tends to play pretty well overseas. Was 12th here a few years back, 22nd in his most recent start of the Travelers. Seems like maybe he's starting to turn it around a little bit, but 7,800 I think is a pretty nice price. So I like all of those players, right? And there's any, and then down to Tom Kim too.
Yeah.
Great history at this particular event, made the cut every year, 4 top 20 finishes. You know, had back-to-back top 15s, including a third at the U.S. Open. Ball striking, iron play in particular, seems like it's starting to pick up, which I like. So yeah, that mid to upper 7K range, I think, is pretty loaded. I'll probably fill out quite a bit of my value plays among that range. Is there anybody that I missed that you are looking at this week?
No, I'll drop down to the low 7K range. Corey Connors is a guy who struggled for much of the year, but most recently he played pretty well at the U.S. Open.
Yeah,
put up a T7 at Travelers. I like him. I like his deadly accurate approach game for here with these massive greens.
Yeah,
I'm going to own some Corey Connors. Also, it's kind of tough to ignore Brian Harman and his history on links-style courses,
right,
both here, and he's a Open Championship winner at just 7,300. His form hasn't been amazing, but
yeah,
geez, that's for our other options down in this range, that yeah, one's a one to pass on.
That's the real problem. There just aren't that many players that I feel super excited about. You know, you're probably gonna throw in a few shares of Sahith at 73, maybe a little Meisner there at 72. He's been, you know, in form of late. Maybe a little Nick Taylor at 7,200. He's had decent success. Victor Perez, I think, is a good one there at 7,100. If you're wondering where Victor Perez has been, because I was kind of scratching my head, and then I had to realize, oh yes, he left for the Live Tour,
yep,
this season. One of the last to,
yep,
to make the trek, which is strange on timing, but has played well in his most recent two DP World Tour starts. He's at two top tens, and he's made the cut here in 6 of 7 starts over the years. So I think that at 7,100, that was sort of the bottom of the range of guys that really stood out. Like everybody else from that point on down, nobody below that really showed up really strongly for me in my model this week as far as how they rated out.
No, it's just a matter of taking shots with guys 3 to 5% and try and see if you can strike lightning. But like we're talking about with Scotty, you're going to have to own multiple of these guys if you want to even pair Scotty with a 9K guy or an 8K guy. I would gravitate kind of toward European type guys like Wiesberger or Jesper Svensson, Swedish guy, but you know, plays on the PGA Tour. Who else down here? I mean,
we talk about Antoine Rosner
at 66,
blast from the past. Yep. He's had some decent experience here. We looked at Scottish player Grant Forrest, plays here every year. He's 6 of 7. His form is just terrible on the DP World Tour. It's not great, but should be a guy who shows up in his home country and plays a little bit better. So
yeah, I guess my best advice is own, you know, a few of these guys, mix them in your player pool. If you're doing a lot of lineups in GPPs, just don't have more than one of them on a roster.
Right.
The chances of them making the cut, all of them, is very, very slim.
Yeah, especially in this field. Yeah, it's going to be very, very challenging. And there aren't a ton of guys who stand out like form-wise or history-wise that I would feel real excited taking a lot of risk on.
Any outright bets that you feel incredibly good about this week, Zachary?
Oh, let me pull it up and see who I know you had your bets already in for the week. Who are some of the values that stood out for you?
I'm the only favorite in the field I have is Oberg. I got him at 24-1.
Yeah, it's not early. Bad.
I see that it's down to 22 right now as we speak.
I think Hatton at 30 is a pretty good value.
Okay. Yep.
I like that one quite a bit. JT at 40 for how well he has been playing of late. I don't mind that at all. Those are probably the two there that stand out. Tom Kim at 70. I got him
at 80 earlier today.
80. Yeah, that's a great number. Yep. That's a great number. This has been a good event for him. Like I said, the irons are good. The short game has been pretty good. So I think those look good. Harmon at 100. That's not bad.
Right. Yep.
I probably won't go much deeper than that. I don't really like the bottom of the field, but those are a few that just from first glance that I do feel comfortable with.
Okay. Well, that'll do it for the Scottish Open. Of course, we have the Open Championship next week from Royal Birkdale. That should be interesting. And the prices should drop on DraftKings. When, Zachary? A couple days?
Yeah, it should be someday this week. Yep. I definitely think those will be out soon.
So we'll try and get the tools uploaded kind of early for you to get going on your research. And then the week after that is the granddaddy of them all, the 3M Open.
Scotty's going to be like 15 that week, isn't he?
Scotty's going to be in great shape coming over from the Open. But he can't withdraw, though.
No,
he can't withdraw because he's like the featured commit. He committed months ago. So
they're going to have him on posters everywhere all over the course.
Yeah. Not getting out of this one. So
you know what? At least with Scotty, he rarely throws up an air ball. You know, we've had guys airball it here. DJ came here. Hideki came here. We've seen, you know, Brooks. We've seen some guys completely airball it when they come out, but that's just not in Scotty's nature. So, you know, at least I feel like he'll likely at least be in contention and worth watching on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that I think it gives some advantage to having him here as opposed to not.
Yeah, I'm anxious to follow him for a little bit. I'm hoping he's at a Thursday AM tea time because that's when we usually get out there and there aren't so many people. If he's a PM tea time, then the masses tend to find them. So we shall see. But with that, if you want to hit us up, you can find us, you can email us, you can hit us up on X, you can find us in the Slack chat too. There's a lot of golf chatter going on in there as well all the time. So be sure to check us out, fantasygolfinsider.com. If you're not currently a premium member, become one today. And best of luck this week with the Scottish Open. We'll be talking to you next week.
Good luck.